Mal was tanken.
Da lachen wir, können wir nicht mehr machen. Ja. Couple of points just before I continue where I was up to last Tuesday, Bleonora, is regarding Shema and practicing how to improve saying the Shema, is that the evening is a better time than the morning, because most of us in the morning are in a hurry for some reason or other to go do something, and it's rather hard to fit in to try to improve things in the morning. One can simply get depressed, whereas in the evening most of us are not in a hurry to do anything other than go to bed, which is not that desperate. So therefore, if one wants to practice saying Shema better, the evening is a better time to do it. In addition to that, it has been recommended as well, if one is davening with an ordinary from Heimische Minyan and you're trying to improve saying Kriya Shema, you'll find it very difficult. Kavachom anywhere else. And since one does not generally advise that people should practice davening v'chidus purely for the sake of Kriya Shema, the general advice given is to arrive in shul 3, 4, 5 minutes before the minyan starts, and then to start davening oneself from v'hurachum with the brachos, etc. Any part of Maariv, with the exception of Shema and Baruch Shem, can be interrupted to answer Baruch Hu. And there is Kaddish equally to answer Yehesh Me Rabbo, and then stay quiet till Damir Mawavim Ru Omein, say Omein, and then carry on davening where you're up to. You can't do that in the middle of the first 12 words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Baruch Shem Kvod Mokhtzol Lanu Ba'ed. You can't interrupt there, but everywhere else you can. So if you come to, if your argument, say if you're a minion that starts 10:30, and you want to try and improve your own Kriya Shema, not get disappointed, then try and be there 25, 26 minutes past 10 and start doubling one's own speed. If you find yourself that you're falling behind them, then from Shomer Moisrael La'ad, you can stop there. You don't need to say Baruch Hashem La'olam and start Tefillah B'Tzibur at the same time. So in other words, one can improve one's Shema without feeling that you're going ahead or behind the minion. It can be done. The other point to mention is that one can improve Kriya Shema as well. One can do this before Shacharis, one can do this before Maariv, and that is on one's own, at home. Obviously it's the time for saying Shema, so if it's in the middle of the winter you've got a problem with Mishayakir, you don't know where Mishayakir is in the winter. But most of the year you don't have a problem. Mishayakir gets earlier than most of us get up. So therefore what one can do is say at least the first parasha of Shema, if not all three, and one says, and they only need to say this once does for a lifetime, to say that whenever I say the Shema before davening, if the Shema I will say later is perfectly adequate and correct according to halacha, then I want to be yotzer from the one I do in the brachos of Shema with talis and tefillin on, etc. That's the one I want to be yotzer from, and this one is merely Kriyas HaTorah. So you say it after saying Birchas HaTorah first anyway. And if later on, because I'm in a hurry, because I'm with everyone else, and it's not so easy to say Shema slowly, that I'm doing one later on that is not as good as it should be, then I want to be yotzer now, the one I'm doing before davening, and not the one I'm doing in davening. This needs to be said once in a lifetime. And that will cover you for every time you do this. You don't have to do it, but if you ever do that, so for argument's sake, if you're talking about before you go to Maariv, you're going to Maariv this time of night, you've Kriya Shema Laila started from the time Shabbos went out yesterday. So in other words, you can do Shema, do the first paragraph or all three at home, whatever you want to do, if you want to. Nobody says you have to. But that way, you can read Shema on your own without the brachos, and certainly be Yotze D'Oraisa if that is going to be better than what you're going to do Tefillah B'Tzibur. If it's not going to be better, then the Tefillah B'Tzibur one will be better. So either way you gain. Right? So that's 2 points. So back to where I was up to is Baruch Shem. So, you've got this, these six words are not a posuk, they are tefillah. They go back to the Midrash about when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed and his children said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he said, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Olam Vo'ed. The first word there is Baruch. It just happens to be in English. We don't tend to put an oo in the middle of a word if we can help it. So people have got into the habit of starting almost every bracha with the word Baruch and the name Baruch. I have a son whose name is spelt that way and he's called Baruch by all his friends. Two things wrong with that. It's not Baruch, it's Baruch. The U, a kibbutz in the middle of a word, Shuruk, and it's got a vav with a dot in it, is always pronounced U. No exception, never pronounced U. The other way round, the three dots, the kibbutz with three dots, when you have a stress on it, it changes to an U. Otherwise, it's an U. If you are Hasidish and pronounce it differently, I'm not trying to make any comments. That is how your own Havoras would be. But as far as the Ashkenazim are concerned, to say that every Brocha starts with Beis, Reish, Vov, final Chof, is to start Baruch, because the U is an U. So in the Shema as well, Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Malchuso, La'olam, Vo'ed. Each one of the words gets stressed at the end. What I'm mainly doing in the reading is to show you how each word is stressed. The vast majority are at the end. Simple rule, stress every Hebrew word at the end and you'll be right 80% of the time. So in other words, you want to go away with one rule, and that's the simplest. Do every single word at the end and you'll be right 80% of the time. Do every Hebrew word at the beginning, you'll be right less than 20% of the time. So you want to have one rule for life and you can't remember more than one rule, stress every single Hebrew word at the end and you'll be right 80%. To want to upgrade that rule to 99.5%, and you see in a siddur when there's a little line underneath it next to a letter, a little line called a meseg, then stress there instead of the end, and now you're right 99.5% or more. There's hardly any word that is neither stressed at the end or stressed earlier than the end when there's a little line there. So you see a little line, stress it on the vowel next to the little line. Right? So always stress it at the end. Stress it under with a vowel with a little line. The words, as I said, for Shema and Baruch Shem, one has to understand what the words mean. You use any English translation, I'm not going to tell you that one is better than the other, because why should one be better than the other? I know that the translation Rav Hirsch gives in his own Siddur, which was translated, I'm giving you the English from the German, he wrote it in German, and La'olam Vo'ed, La'olam is from La'alem, to hide. So the future, La'olam Vo'ed, which is hidden, Vo'ed is not, Vo'ed is from Vo'ed, don't pronounce it that way, it's Vo'ed, but the aid, a witness. A witness is somebody who gives a kiyum to something, to gives its certainty to the Beis Din. Where the Beis Din are sitting there, they don't know what the facts are, they know all the theoretical laws, but they don't know what the facts are. The Eidim come and tell them the facts. When the Eidim tell the facts, and they cross-examine the Eidim on the facts, you now know what the facts are, they can go and give the Psak Halacha what the law is. So therefore, Vo'ed is, La'olam Vo'ed is that the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, the glory of HaKadosh Hu's Malchus, at the moment we can't necessarily see it. You look around the world, you read the newspaper, you see what's going on in the world. Where's the Kavod Malchuso? So he tells you, La'olam, it is hidden, it is veiled, but Vo'ed is absolutely certain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus will be revealed to the whole world, that every single person in the world will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, he made the world, he controls the world, and this we made clear. And that is what we are stating. La'olam Vo'ed, although it is hidden at the moment, it is absolutely certain. And that is a kavanah one can have in this. The next posuk.
The Moedos, there was a letter in the Moedos this week on Friday. It said Aleph Lam.
Yes, this one. Right.
It's
this
right.
It's the Shem Hashem. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
I just want to quote
if anybody you. Still has that, please put it in.
Go straight to the Shem.
The word kale.
Why does kale?
Lamed Eov Lamed Vav Pasuk Hey. Right. So Va'or Havto. This regularly has been read and stressed on the hay. Sorry to tell you, it's the word ohavto, without the vob in front, ohavto means you have loved. It's past tense. Put a shavo in front, vob of the shavo, this is called a vob ahipoch, which changes it, ohavto, and you shall love. But it's got to be stressed differently. Ohavto on the hay, the ohavto is stressed on the tof, and as well on the aleph. If you look in the Chumash, you'll see there's a munach and a zakeif koton. The ohavto. If a person would do Kriyas HaTorah in Parshas Vayeschanan and lain the ohavto, halach is 100% the person has to be corrected. Because if you say ve'ohavto, that means and you had loved. It's called the pluperfect in English. Why? He had done it already. That is the meaning in the Hebrew ve'ohavto. But ve'ohavto is the correct pronunciation, and you shall love. It's an order for the future. So ohavto you did, and ve'ohavto and you shall do. So that's the correct way. Look in a Chumash, you'll see a munach under the aleph and a zokeh katon on the top. That's ve'ohavto. So that's clearly the way the word has to be stressed when reading it. Eis Hashem, let's do it properly. Ve'ohavto. Eis Adonoi Elohecho. Bechol levavecho. Uvchol nafshecho. Uvchol me'odecho. Now, let's go through several of the points there. Right? In the Shem of Hashem Elokecho, one has to be careful to make sure you pronounce the hay. There are people around Elokecho. Do it quickly. The hay gets missed out and it's replaced by an aleph. You do find people who unfortunately have a habit of saying Eloheinu. Well, Eloheinu is not Hashem's name by any definition. It's putting an aleph instead of the hay. So one has to be careful to pronounce the hey, Elohair, Elohei, has to be pronounced. That's one point there, and the stress is on the hey itself. Now you've got Bechol Levavacha. There is a hyphen in the Chumashim, there's no hyphen in the Sefer Torah. You've got the two words, they are two words, and because they are two words, they have to be separated. You can't run two words together. So you have to put them slightly separately, but yet they do go together in meaning. Bechol levavacha. So two lamads make a very slight break and carry on. Levavacha. In some of the chumashim, some of the sidurim, you'll see there's a little sign on top of the vase, the second vase. And when there's a sign on top, it shows that the shavo underneath is an a shavo, not a sounded shavo. So it's levavacha, not levavcha. But levo vecho. So there's four parts. Levo vecho. Slight stress on the vo, main stress on the cho. Levo vecho. Put bechol in front and be careful. If you do it too quickly, you miss out one of the lamads. Bechol levo vecho. I just said one lamad. Sounded perfect. Bechol levo vecho. It's not. Bechol levo vecho. That's the first one. Uvchol nafshecho. Make sure you say naf rather than nav. Saying this at speed gets b'chol navshecho. Navshecho doesn't exist. It's not a vase, it's a fey. So it's uvchol navshecho. And while we're on the subject of uvchol, there are two ways of pronouncing the shavo. Whichever one you wish to do is correct. The one that is uvchol, it goes to the gorn. I'm sure they give gorn quite from other people. Whereas uvchol goes to the balatanya. So therefore, whichever one you choose to do is perfectly acceptable. It's up to you. You want to say uvchol nafshecho or uvechol. Up to you. I can tell you interestingly about Gateshead, that in Gateshead, you can't get more literature than that. The Alter Gateshead, obviously, Chazal Livrocha, Rabbi Rakov, was mitzaveh for the school in Gateshead that the children should learn to do it according to the shit of the Balatanya, not the shit of the Gon. He wanted them all to pronounce uve. Mainly because it's easier to remember that every time you have an U at the beginning of a word, and there's the next letter's got a shavah underneath it, you pronounce that shavah. So every time you've got that, no exception. And that's the shit of the Balatanya, and that's the simplest way. So if you want, again, I've got this lovely habit of trying to give people one rule rather than 17 different rules with the exceptions. So if you want to remember one rule, You follow the shit of the Balatanya, which you've got every time you have an ooh at the beginning of a word, and the next letter has got a shavo underneath it, pronounce the shavo, ooh verchol. Otherwise, if you're either you're using the siddur or you know the words already, use the shit of the Vilna Gaon, but that's totally up to you. Right? So you've got bechol levavacha, uvchol nafshecha, or uvechol nafshecha, uvchol or uvechol meodecha. Stresses on the dalet. So therefore you've got bechol levavacha, uvchol nafshecha, but the last one's not uvchol meodecha, it's because the word was meodecha. If you have the word not at the end of the posuk, meod becomes meodecha. Just ma'odecha, stress on the cha. But because it's the end of the posuk, so posuk, it changes. In grammar it's called a pausal form, where you make a pause, usually on an esnachta and a sof posuk. So the word ma'odecha becomes ma'odecha. And that's where the stress is in this particular word. Right? Next posuk. V'hoyu ha-devorim ha-eile asher onochi metzavecha hayom al levovecha. Quite a few points on that posuk. The word v'hoyu, simple, stressed at the end. Had-devorim, there's a dogish in the dalet. So it's not had-vorim. The dogish makes the shavo underneath pronounced had-devorim. Just because you're pronouncing the shavo doesn't put a stress on it. There's no stress. It's not had-devorim. It's just, as opposed to had-vorim, it's had-devorim. And there's no stress. It's merely it's an rather than silent. Hadavorim. The yud in hadavorim makes it longer than hadavorim. It's not an I, it's an E. But I don't think that makes a difference for a Valkyrie or somebody who's learning. If you got that wrong, I don't think I'd correct them on it. It's close enough to mean exactly the same thing. But nevertheless, this is called a chirik godol. And a chirik godol is E as opposed to I. So hadavorim, ho'eile, stress on the aleph, asher, how you pronounce a resh is up to you, but as I said in the previous talk here, that there is no such thing in Hebrew as a silent resh. It just doesn't exist. Nowhere. It's just that we English people have a habit of trying to ignore an R at the end of a word. So you have so many R's, or what? Or. Right? We have so many with butter, slipper. You don't say the R. I've got a few Scottish Talmudim. Am I teaching them reading? I ask them, how do they pronounce things in Scottish? How is their, what's their vowel that they use for these things? And that all of them, they tell me slightly difference to it in English. And we've got words like butter, slipper. They say it that way. I have a Kabbalah which I don't pass on to anybody else because I don't have the right to automatically pass it on. But I learnt from Reb David Moore, Shlitz, who's spoken here before, from Gateshead originally. And do you remember who was speaking here before? Was
yeah.
That's Reb Yossi Moore. His uncle. His uncle, Reb David Moore. He's spoken before, and I learnt from him 40 years ago in Yeshiva.
Wow.
And he's around my age, but he had learnt a lot of these things before I met him. And he taught me about pronouncing a resh as a resh rather than an R. So I got into the habit years ago, Baruch Hashem, and therefore you've got R. I can say if you want to, perfect, but I'd never go around telling anybody that you must pronounce it, and if you don't do it, it's wrong. It's just the question of when you've got a resh at the end of a word, and this is for anybody who's a Baal Kareel, person who learns, has got to pronounce the resh. You can't leave it out, or just do it as if it's English. And the word asher is done by so many people, asher. Literally, if you tell them to stop and listen, what are they saying? Asher, asher, asher. And if it didn't have a resh, what would it be? Asher. What's the difference? Because it's English. In English, you leave out the R. You can't do that in Hebrew. So even you say ur, asher. Some method of using, putting a resh at the end of the word. So asher, onochi, the Mephoshim say...
When you stress ho'eile,
ho'eile. No, there's a line under the aleph. You see a line under the aleph? No, a line. A mesek under the aleph.
Okay,
my name's gone. Right? Now you've got to asher mafoshim on the Shulchan Aruch say, don't put the two words too close together. Or you got asher ronochi. You'll make ronochi. It's not ronochi. It's two separate words. One ends in the resh, one starts with an or. And we pronounce an aleph as if it's silent. For Ashkenazim, perfectly acceptable. Ashkenazim are perfectly entitled to pronounce an aleph and ayin as if they are silent. But Sephardim, not necessarily. So, asher onochi metzavecho, the same as the vav in metzavecho, as a dogish in it and a shva underneath, metzavecho, stress at the end, hayom al levovecho, two lamads but hyphenated together. So it's not al levovecho, two separate words, it's two joined words, al levovecho. Without hardly a break between the two, but make sure you pronounce both lamads, otherwise you have al levovecho, which is one lamad. And you missed out a letter in the Shema. So, al levovecho. Mitzvah Karen next time. It's good, it's good.
Mario. Mario's great. Yeah. 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 Yeah.